Good morning. This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. The Reds open their season Monday against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. It will be the first ever interleague game as a season opener. This morning, we'll talk about the team and what we might expect this year. Joining me are Cincinnati Reds team historian Greg Rhodes, WVXU reporter Howard Wilkinson, and on the phone from spring training in Arizona, Inquirer sports columnist John Arardi. We'd like to hear your questions and comments. You can email them to impact@wvxu.org or post them on our Facebook page. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning.
All righty. Well, John, we give you credit because it's pretty darn early in Arizona.
Yeah, I get up with the roosters, Marianne. I'm okay.
Well, thanks so much, everybody, for being here. I don't ordinarily start out with a listener question, but today I want to because I think it's a good place to start. And it's from a man called Bobby who says, "What the heck happened at spring training?" And I thought that was a good place to start because it seems like the spring training had people a little bit nervous early on.
Well, let's let John Arardi take that question. He's out there and probably has his pulse on what's going on. I'd like to hear John's take on that.
Yes, people get nervous about all these losses in spring training, but it really doesn't amount to a hill of beans, and I think Howard can speak to the issue of how little it means. He's gone to a lot of spring trainings, and there were years where the Reds barely won a game and came out and won the championship, so I don't think it's a problem whatsoever. What do you think, Howard?
Well, I agree. I mean, it means nothing. You put together, you go to spring training, you have 58 guys in a major league camp to start out with, which means 33 of them aren't going to be on the team that comes back to Cincinnati. You're getting the minor league organization ready. You're getting the major league players ready. The outcome of the games does not mean so much until you start getting down to, you know, where we are now in the last week, where you've got the regular rotation pitchers being stretched out to 6-7 innings, and you want to see them do well. But I have never, ever worried about spring training record because it just doesn't matter.
No, absolutely right. I imagine that the questioner may have also been alluding to the Chapman soap opera that has dominated the spring training chatter. And you know, I think we all knew there was some question mark when he went down there this year.
Well, let's explain what you're talking about for folks that may not be quite as dedicated as we
are.
But Aroldis Chapman is the one of the pitchers. He was a closer last year, known, you know, as the Cuban Missile, really can throw a very, very fast ball over 100 miles an hour. But there was some talk about moving him into the general rotation, the regular rotation, and other people wanted him to stay a closer, and that went back and forth and back and forth. And we did have a question from Steve about that, so let's just dive right in. What about it? He's going to be a closer. Is that a surprise to anybody?
Well, he's going to remain a closer.
Right.
He, of course, was signed, and in his early days in Cuba and in his first go-around kind of with the Reds, it was pretty clear he was going to be a starter. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he'd done. That's what the Reds anticipated. Last year, he came to camp as a starter and looked great, and then was pressed into the bullpen when we had some injuries down there. And he did a fabulous job out of the bullpen last year. No question about it. We even got two somersaults out of the guy. he did a fabulous job. But nonetheless, there had been a feeling, especially with the depth that the Reds have in their bullpen, that they could move or at least consider Chapman again now for that starting rotation. Because most guys would tell you, most baseball people, most stat guys will tell you, a starter is more valuable than a reliever. And so if they could get him into the starting rotation, he would have more value for the club. There's a lot of back and forth, and I think a couple of weeks ago, Chapman came out and said he probably would prefer to stay in the bullpen. And the inside accounts, I don't know what John's heard down there, but there certainly was a lot of back and forth. But Chapman will start the season in the bullpen. Mike Leake will start the season as our fifth starter. This is basically what we had last year. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
You know, it's probably pretty darn good.
Bill, somebody named Bill wrote in and said, "Do Greg and John believe there was a power struggle over the Chapman decision between Baker and Walt Jocketty?" Dusty Baker, of course, the manager of the team, and Walt Jocketty, the general manager. And if so, does it show who has the ear of ownership? And what made Jocketty change his mind after saying all winter that Chapman was going to be a starter? John, you want to take that one?
Yes, that is the $64,000 question, or nowadays the $6.4 million question, given the player salaries. But I think there was a power struggle. I think that Dusty won that struggle because your manager has to be happy. You want to go into the season with everybody on the same page, and clearly Dusty was not a team player on that one. Walt Jockley, the GM, and Brian Price, the pitching coach, definitely wanted to try Chapman as a starter, and Dusty wasn't comfortable with it. And that's reflective of today's baseball, in which managers, they want to know who their closer is, and they want to be able to get those three outs in the ninth inning. I think the reason for that is, number one, it keeps you from being second-guessed, and number two, it saves your stomach a little bit, because just as we're not spending Bob Castellini's money, we don't have to worry about our stomach the way Dusty Baker did. And he just wasn't comfortable not knowing. I mean, he knew his closer was going to be Jonathan Broxton, but Jonathan hasn't had a truly great spring down here. It's been okay, but he didn't throw as hard as he did at his best last season. And I think, given the early schedule, especially against a lot of games against Washington and St. Louis and Philly, I think that Dusty wanted to be able to go out there and blow teams away in the ninth inning, just the way that Chapman did last year. So I think, in a way, it was a power struggle. But you know what? I don't think Jockety was terribly unhappy with it, because he wants everything to be comfortable going into the season. And clearly for Dusty, it's more comfortable if Chapman's his closer.
Yeah, I mean, a manager wants to know, you know, and he wants what works. And he saw it work in 2012, and he saw no reason why it shouldn't work in 2013. And as Greg said, this bullpen is deep, and there are other guys who could take over that closer role if it doesn't work out. But I mean, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't. Chapman, it would be interesting to see him as a starter. He'd have to become a different kind of pitcher. He'd have to become more of a Justin Verlander type, you know, where he's not throwing triple digit fastballs every time. You can't do that for 6, 7, 8 innings. Nobody can. So, you know, he would have to become a different kind of pitcher and hold back that triple-digit fastball when he really needed to blow somebody away, which is what a guy like Verlander does.
Let's talk about pitching in general, the starting pitchers now, because time's going quickly and there's so much to talk about. But Johnny Cueto is going to start opening day. Had a good game earlier this week, a good last spring training game. How does he look for the season?
Well, I think, as Howard pointed out, if there's anything you're going to look at spring training, it's the last start or two of the guys who are going to be in your rotation. Homer had some red flags the other day with his start, but Cueto looked really good. You know, the Reds' rotation is going to be Cueto, Matt Latos, Bronson Arroyo. And by the way, both Matt Latos and Bronson Arroyo will start off the season not on the bench, not in the bullpen, but in the parade. See those guys in the parade on Monday
That's
afternoon.
That's kind of unusual, isn't it?
Well, actually, I think it started back in 2009.
Yeah, a couple of years. They've been doing it 2 or 3 years.
The Castellinis, you know, agreed to it, and you know, this is Arroyo's second one.
And Latos also. I think Latos was in last year.
That's right. He was last year, too.
It's great.
And they're also not on the disabled list after both being getting hit by pitches.
Yeah. Right,
or
right.
Not by pitches, by hits.
That's right. Now, if they don't get hit by a car in a parade, they'll be okay.
Don't tempt fate.
No tempt, right. So, and so those three guys, along with Homer Bailey and Mike Leake, now will be the rotation, which is exactly the same rotation last year. And it's easy for us to remember that was a rotation last year, because they never missed a start.
That's right.
It was an unbelievable season. And that is not likely to happen again. The one thing about Chapman going into the bullpen is now if he was in the starting rotation, you'd have Mike Leake in reserve as your number six starter in case somebody got hurt. And it's likely you're going to lose a few more games out of your starters this year. The chances of it. So now this puts a little more pressure on who their number six and number seven starters are going to be. Those are guys that will start the year down in Louisville, the Tony Cingranis of the world. And we may see a little more of them this year. That'll be one of the things for fans to kind of keep an eye on as the season goes on, is the health of the starters and who the Reds have to turn to when they need a start from a sixth or seventh guy.
John, what about the rest of the starters? How do they look since you've been out there? Bronson, especially. A lot of people are saying this may be Bronson's last year. Is that true? Am I hearing that, or is that not true?
No, I think that is true. If I believe it's a contractual situation, they'd have to pay him a lot of money after this season to keep him in. He's the kind of guy, he could go on for a while yet because he's such a savvy, crafty veteran. He's looked good. Bailey's the one that hasn't looked too good, but at the end of last year, Bailey was really their best pitcher, which is saying something. Cueto, as you mentioned earlier, Marianne, he's looked very good. Latos took that ball off the ankle, and then the very next day, Arroyo took a ball off the hand. So they came within, I don't know what you want to call it, just a mere happenstance of losing two pitchers to start the season. Then they would be in trouble given their early schedule. But and Leake has looked good. I mean, Greg Rose and I have talked about this quite a bit. If your fifth starter is anything but a black hole, because in the past, before Leake got here, their fifth starter would go out there and give up six or seven runs in five innings, and they were losing games automatically. And you can't do that over a 162-game season. And you all have mentioned it. The beauty of baseball is how long the season lasts. And people might forget, they started last year 4-8, and they still won the division. So it's a long season, and fortunately, I say fortunately, they've got the pitching to sustain it, both in the starting rotation and the bullpen. Maybe Howard can speak to the issue. Frankly, this is the best staff, I think, top to bottom I've seen here. I can't even tell you how long it's been. It's been forever. This is a wonderful staff.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is a great pitching staff. You'd have to go back to think like to the early 60s and guys like that, or even 1939, 40, you know, with that pitching staff to compare. I mean, they are very good. And Greg is right. I mean, they pitched 161 games last year. The only game that those five guys didn't pitch was a makeup doubleheader game, where they brought Todd Redman up and he got shelled, but it was just extraordinary. That doesn't happen in baseball. It's like a one in a million thing, and it won't happen this year probably. So they're going to need some extra help.
We're going to talk more about the Reds on Impact Cincinnati as we continue our discussion in just a moment.
Support comes from the Transfiguration Spirituality Center, offering you a chance to be inspired and moved as acclaimed theologian Marcus Borg shares his insights about what it means to be a Christian and to live a Christian life in today's world at an exciting retreat April 12th through 14th. You can discover more about being a part of this retreat experience at tscretreats.org. Support comes from the Kenwood by Senior Star, Cincinnati's premier retirement community, which offers monthly leases on independent apartments and a full array of healthcare services to support an active lifestyle. For directions or to inquire about a personalized visit, you can go to seniorstar.com.
Support comes from Wright State University's weekend MBA program in Mason. Classes meet every other weekend in a supportive cohort environment, and now MBA foundation courses are offered online. You can learn how this nationally ranked program from the Raj Soin College of Business can advance your career at an information session on Friday, April 5th in Mason, wright.edu/MBA.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking Reds baseball today. Opening day is Monday. My guest, Cincinnati Reds team historian Greg Rhodes, on the phone from spring training, Inquirer sports columnist John Arardi, and WVXU reporter Howard Wilkinson. If you have a question or a comment, we absolutely want to hear from you. You can email it to impact@wvxu.org or post it on our Facebook page. So we've talked a lot about pitching, but we can't talk about baseball without talking about Joey Votto. And we did get a question. This from Jen says, do you think Votto's knee is 100%? Let's just talk about him first in general and how he's doing with his rehab. Is he done rehabbing? Maybe, John, you want to start with that.
Yes, he looks great. And I think Greg and Howard, both being historians of the game, will appreciate this fact. And I know he wrote about it briefly, but it was so funny to see in person when Joey was facing Hugh Darvish of the Texas Rangers the other day and wound up swinging through a dinky little curveball, and then Darvish threw him that same pitch about three pitches later, and Votto hit it at least 450 feet completely out of the ballpark. And it so reminded me of an incident I was too young to see because I wasn't around then, but Ted Williams did the same thing off the pitcher Sewell, I think in an All-Star game, where he kind of double clutched and just knocked the pitch out of the park completely. And you know how Tony Perez did the same thing against
right,
Bill Lee,
back in the 75 World Series. So when I saw that, I said, and Votto kind of was laughing about it afterward. But when I saw that, I said to myself, he's back, and I think he's going to have a huge year this year.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Joey at all. I think Joey's going to be fine. He's just a smart, smart hitter, and he works at it. It's a craft to him, and he's going to be fine. I mean, this thing with you, Darvish, the other day just showed you. I mean, you might fool him once, but you're not going to fool him twice.
That's right.
Howard mentioned about how cerebral a hitter he is. There's a terrific article in Sports Illustrated, which I think you can find online, where Votto talks a lot about his approach to hitting. And, he's a Ted – you know, John, we've always admired, the reading about Ted Williams and how he approaches – Votto is in that category. I mean, that good, but he also – It's a process he really works through, and it's just really fascinating to read about how he approaches the art of hitting. And I mean, there are some guys that don't approach it that way and have a lot of success. You don't have to do it that way, but it's just interesting to hear him kind of ruminate through how he does it.
John, you've had a chance to actually see him, maybe even talk to him. What's his mood like?
Oh, his mood is great. I mean, it was funny because we were trying to get a picture of him, I think Phillips, maybe Bruce, and somebody else. We were going to put it on the cover of our opening day section and call it Unfinished Business and have them all in business suits. And we got that request pretty late in spring training, and we couldn't pull it off. But the first guy that Rob Butcher, the Reds media relations guy, went to was Votto, because he knew that if Votto wouldn't do it, there wasn't going to be a picture. And Votto shot it down right away. He said, "You got to be kidding me. It's late in spring training. Maybe I would have done it on photo day," but he was having fun with it. And, I think that as he goes, this team goes, you talked about not wanting to tempt the fates about a pitcher going down. You definitely don't want to try to do what they did last year, where they lost him for a lot of games and had guys pick up the slack. That's tough to do 2 years in a row too, but I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think he's learned to run the bases better, learned to slide better. I don't look for him to have a catastrophic injury. So, in my mind, if he goes well, this team's going to go very well.
Somebody we can't leave out at all is the new acquisition, Shin-Soo Chu, coming over from the Indians. What are y'all expecting out of him this year?
I think this is fabulous. I mean, I think it is an absolutely fabulous addition. I mean, the guy, there's no harder working player in baseball. This guy is really working at it. And, he doesn't have a lot of experience in center field, but he's got good instincts and he's got speed. But he gets on base, and that's what we needed for all these years, is a legitimate leadoff hitter, a guy who is going to get on base. Last year, leadoff position, batting average, .208. Well, that's not going to happen this year.
.308, probably.
Yeah, probably.
As far as
and what does that mean? What does that mean? That means that Joey Votto gets another 20 to 25 RBIs, that Ryan Ludwig gets more RBIs. I mean, you score more runs, you win more games.
You know, back in the heyday of the Big Red Machine, at the top of that order, they had guys like Pete Rose and Ken Griffey and Joe Morgan. And they were all getting on base 38, 40, 42, 44% of the time. I mean, no wonder Tony Perez is driving in all those runs every year. I mean, my gosh, if the top of your order gets on base, there's just so many more things that happen. And I think I read somewhere that if you had given Chu the same number of at-bats that like a Zach Cozart or a Drew Stubbs had last year at the top of the order, he'd be on base like 50 or 60 more times during the course of the season. Right. Well, I mean, that's going to translate into just a lot more scoring opportunities. And I think to echo what Howard said, and John, you may have seen this too, a very personable kid, hardworking, he's well-liked in the clubhouse. And I think that after the course of this season, if everything goes as we kind of expect it to, the Reds are going to have a tough decision to make. They've only got him signed for 1 year, but he could really turn out to be a heck of an impact player.
What's he looking like in spring training, John?
He looks great. He missed a period of time with some back spasms, but he looks great to me. I think he's absolutely the key to the season. He's the big reason I'm down here. I'm doing a big piece on him for opening day daily section that comes out that morning of opening day. And I think the reason to me that he's key is that, and Greg mentioned this, he's basically a one-year signee. And the last time they had a one-year signee with this kind of impact or potential impact, it was Greg Vaughn in 99 when they almost won the pennant, just lost it in an extra game with the Mets. But I think that Chu is the kind of guy that, and Dusty said this, you don't have to worry about him. He's a ball player. He basically can do everything. People that think he can't play center field are crazy. He's not Drew Stubbs out there, but he'll be fine. And most importantly, not only can he get on base, but he can run the bases. He's just a smart, good baseball player, and people in this town are going to love him.
Yeah, I think it was a Cleveland general manager who said something to one of the Reds people about, say, just give this guy the key to the spring training camp because he's going to be the first guy there every morning.
That's true.
And he'll open the door.
Yeah.
Well, he and Joey Votto are going to have to battle for it. Wasn't he also an early early riser there?
Well, yeah.
One player that is good when he's good and is just streaky as can be is Jay Bruce, and he's been working on it. He says he thinks it's a mental thing. Where do we think Bruce is going to land this year, Greg? You want to?
Well,
take
you know,
a chance on that?
It is an interesting thing about it. This is, he was streaky last year. He was streaky the year before that. I'm not a ball player. I don't know what it is that clicks or doesn't click for him. But he does, I mean, he clearly got the capability, and I know he was talking about trying to even things out over the course of the season. Don't let the lows get so low. You don't want him to drop the high. You don't want to, I mean, if he can have some months when he hits 330, why can't he do that all season long? So I don't know. I don't know if it's just a toughness thing. I don't know if he just lets some at-bats get away from him. I mean, I know that's one of the things that Votto really emphasized. I've heard him talk about is just, you know, you've got to fight for every at-bat. That was like a Pete Rose, Joe Morgan, those guys. You just got to fight for every at-bat. You cannot relax up there. And maybe that's what I don't know. Jay Bruce has got a tremendous amount of talent. He's still, what, just 25?
He's only 25 years old.
We seem to think, you know, like right. He's this real older, grizzled right. veteran. Yeah. I mean, Zach Cozart came up as a rookie at 25 or 26 last
exactly,
year. So,
yeah.
You know, you got to appreciate the talent Bruce has, and he's got a ways to go. But I think he's going to get there. He's going to be one of the best outfielders in baseball.
Yeah.
John, what do you think?
I think Bruce is the kind of guy, pretty much what you see is what you get. He's pretty much the antithesis of Votto, because I don't want to say Bruce is a see-the-ball, hit-the-ball guy. He's more cerebral than that, but some guys are just streaky, Marianne. There's not much you can do about it. The key is how I think Ludwig hits in the fourth hole right after Votto. That's going to be critical. And then you let Bruce come up in the fifth hole and just swing away. He's going to have months where he carries you, and he's going to have months where you wish he wasn't in the lineup. But that's just the way some guys are. And I don't think it's the type of thing that will kill a team, because you've got enough consistent guys in that lineup that they can get by with a free swinger in the five hole.
And even with his streakiness, I mean, he had 99 RBIs last year, which is not bad.
Right.
I bet there are a lot of guys who'd be happy with 99 RBIs.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Frazier had a great year last year. Now he's going to be third base all the time. Is that going to be good for him? Is that going to make him an even better player?
Well, I
think it will.
I think Todd Frazier is going to be very solid. The big question is, how much of an upside is there? He's an older rookie. He's an older guy. A lot of times those guys don't make big leaps. But if Frazier can – essentially, you know, you look at that lineup. If guys can give you what they gave you last year, you're going to score a lot of runs. You're going to be a very competitive team all year long, and that's what I would look for with Frazier. Yeah, it'd be great to see him improve a little bit, but if he can give you a very solid performance like he did last year, not over the top, but just a real solid performance every day at third base, that's going to be an improvement overall. Because Scott Rolen, as much as you loved his leadership, as much as you loved his defense, was falling off considerably at the plate. So Frazier will be an improvement there, and it's just a question of whether or not he can sustain that. And, no reason to think he can't.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, what they did at the top of the order with getting Chu in there is going to help all the way down the line through this lineup. You know, it's going to mean more opportunities for people in the 5, 6, 7 hole, as well as the 3 and 4 holes.
Plus, he'll still be playing the Frank Sinatra songs when he comes up to bat.
Right. Yeah.
You gotta love that.
You gotta love it. Yeah.
I love that. What about you mentioned Scott Rolen? Is the team going to miss that leadership? Is there? Do you see somebody else? Maybe John, you can address this, and Howard address if there's going to be somebody that's going to step up to be that kind of a leader.
Well, that's a great segue from Frazier, because ultimately, maybe even this season, I think you're going to see him, even though he's young, he's not a young rookie young. He's, as Greg mentioned, 25, 26. He'll, I think, take a leadership role. He's very rah-rah and doesn't mind getting in people's faces a little bit, even as a young player. So I think he's going to be key. I don't think they're going to miss Roland because I think the players had time enough to learn from Roland while I was here. So, you know, Phillips is the kind of guy, you just with Phillips, the second baseman, you just kind of want to make sure he doesn't start any crazy fights like he did the one year with St. Louis. You just kind of want to keep him happy and keep him going. And then, you know, no question in my mind, Bruce wants to be a leader. He can be a leader, and I think he will. Ludwig, you know, very good leader. Chu probably won't say much because he's quiet, but the way he plays, he's a great role model type leader. And Hannigan, I was thinking about Hannigan, the catcher today. Of all the guys on the team, he's the one guy you don't have to worry about. As long as he stays in the lineup, he's going to give you great games behind the plate, calling pitches. He'll get on base enough. He's a great on-base guy, by the way, even though he hits way down in the order. He's the kind of guy that gets on base a lot. So he's another great leader. I think he might be the one guy on the team I'd call a future manager. So, you know, really this is a great team of leaders. And from that standpoint, I don't think they'll miss Roland terribly. But, you know, we'll see. It's easier to say that than actually see what happens.
Yeah, Hannigan doesn't get the credit for what he does and what he does with handling pitchers and the respect that the pitchers have for him, the confidence that they have in him. He is a special ball player.
Before we run out of time, I do want to talk about Dusty Baker a little bit. Ill at the end of last year, had to have was it a mini stroke and some other issues and was hospitalized. How's he looking, John? Is he looking ready for battle?
Well, he's fighting the Arizona allergies down here, but other than that, he looks a lot better. He's lost weight. He's definitely eating better, and I think he's ready to go. And my favorite part about Dusty, and we can question it however much we want his merits as a tactician, but the beauty of him is that the players love him. They want to play for him. They'll play hurt for him. They'll take a pit, take a ball off the shoulder for him. They'll do anything for this guy, and that's what you want. Over 162 is you want guys that run through a wall for you. And clearly, he's still inspiring that same kind of following that he has in the past. And I think that he's one of the best things about this team. And I think that may anger some fans who are always questioning his decisions in the dugout. But I come back to the same thing. If players want to play for you, and if they'll go out there and just bust it, you've got a good chance of winning a pennant if you're physically talented, and they definitely are that. So I think they're in good shape in the managerial department.
I agree. I mean, I think, you know, you saw a good example of it last year when Votto went down and these guys stepped up. And that was Dusty. And that was Dusty pushing them and them wanting to respond to him and wanting to, you know, to do well for him. And I agree with everything John said.
Yeah, and just to expand on that, Marianne, with Dusty in the managerial chair, Walt Jocketty in the front office, Bob Castellini and the Williamses running this club, the club top to bottom is in as good a shape as it's been in the last 30 or 40 years.
Yes.
They just won a big award last year for the best organization overall in baseball, and that's everything from your fan experience to your ballpark management to your minor leagues, your scouting, your development. I think that the Castellinis have really come in. They've done best practices. They've looked at this teamwork. How can we build a better organization? And they've done it. It's still a work in progress. There's nobody that wants to win a world championship more than Bob Castellini. So I think, you know, again, you've got a great team in place. You've won two. You've been in the playoffs two of the last 3 years. It's been since the 70s that we've had that kind of run. And so let's just keep it going. I think this is a team that can do it.
Thank you all for being here. We are out of time. John, thank you for getting up early. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And thank you for listening to Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. My guests today were Cincinnati Reds team historian Greg Rhodes, WVXU reporter Howard Wilkinson, and on the phone from spring training, Inquirer sports columnist John Arardi. Archives of our programs are available on our website, WVXU.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier.